We have an interesting show here for you today. At the top, the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution makes it clear any citizen accused of a crime will, if necessary, have access to qualified legal representation in court. Many legal professionals think that guarantee has been seriously compromised in Michigan for many years. The state often ranks low in assessments of its system of indigent defense. In recent years, several efforts by the state legislature to strengthen the system have failed, but those efforts do continue. A hearing is scheduled today, Law Day, at the Capitol by the House Criminal Justice Committee. Joining us this morning, Chief Judge of the 55th District Court, Thomas Boyd of Ingham County. He is an advocate for reform of public defense, and he joins us to explain what's wrong with Michigan's system and why it needs to change. Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
For starters, give us a real basic civics lesson here regarding the Sixth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. What does it say?
Well, the Sixth Amendment guarantees you the right to have counsel if you're facing a criminal charge, but prior to the adoption of the 14th Amendment, that only that was limited to charges, criminal charges by the federal government. With the 14th Amendment applying the original Bill of Rights to the states, that became a right that you had when you faced a state charge.
Mm-hmm.
However, until 1963 in the landmark case Gideon versus Wainwright, the United States Supreme Court hadn't articulated what it means to have a right to have counsel when you face a state charge. And in Gideon versus Wainwright, again, this is 50 years ago in March of 1963, the Supreme Court clearly said if you face a serious criminal charge, which was defined as a felony, then you have a right to an attorney paid for at the state's expense. It is coincidental that in Michigan, we were just reshaping our Constitution at that time. We had a constitutional convention in 1962.
Yeah.
So that Constitution was in the process of its ratification when Gideon versus Wainwright came out. So the framers of the Constitution of 1963, who I think did an excellent job, didn't have the mandate from the Supreme Court to take care of indigent defense. They just overlapped in time. So ever since the ratification of the Michigan Constitution of 1963, we've sort of been battling about how we would take care of indigent defense. And it has developed since then as a local responsibility. So we have sort of a patchwork quilt across the state of how different systems provide lawyers for poor people accused of crime.
It's generally a county-by-county approach?
It's even more narrow than that, because in Ingham County, we have a county system for felonies, and we have misdemeanor systems in Lansing, East Lansing, and for the balance of the county. Because there's four different courts, we have four different systems. So it's county by county on the felony charges, but on misdemeanor charges, it can be city by city or town by town across the whole state.
Wow. So is that patchwork approach the problem? Does it just need to be coordinated or unified or what?
Well, I think that the problem is that there aren't sufficient systemic safeguards to assure effective assistance of counsel. So I believe, and the bill that will be heard in the House Committee on Criminal Justice today, preserves local control. Because in Michigan, local control, especially in criminal justice, is a very strong element of the way we do things. But what we need are statewide standards that each local system needs to be held accountable for.
Okay. And what on the ground, what isn't working? In theory, is everyone provided with defense? Is it inadequate? Is it here today, gone tomorrow? How does that play out on the ground?
There's a variety of different problems that manifest themselves across the state. But in general, it was characterized by the National Legal Aid and Defenders Association in a report they did in 2008 that speed and economy trump justice, that the rush to push cases through the court system and the desire of local government to save money are more important than the effective assistance of counsel. So, for instance, we have systems where a lawyer is retained for $1,000 or $1,200 a month to take whatever work comes in. So that lawyer has an economic disincentive to file extra motions or to seek trial. They have an economic incentive to plead people guilty because it takes less of their time. So a system that creates economic incentives or disincentives isn't really effective in terms of what the United States Supreme Court would think.
Do other states face this, or does Michigan really stand out here?
Michigan really stands out in terms of some of the extremes, but we're not alone. If this bill passes and Michigan creates a statewide commission to create standards, we would be the 23rd state to do that. Other states have had different structures for the number of years, but it's a battle going on all over. Now, the region Michigan stands out. I'll give you an example. I was lucky enough to be invited by Attorney General Eric Holder to a symposium on the anniversary of Gideon versus Wainwright in March. And there was a panel discussion, and it was the Attorney General Eric Holder, Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan, and former Vice President Walter Mondale, who played a leading role in the Gideon decision in 1963. And they were discussing the problems. And when Attorney General Holder asked Supreme Court Justice Kagan, how bad is it? What's really going on out there in the country that we need to worry about in terms of the effective assistance of counsel? Mm-hmm. She told a story of a case that was recently decided by the Supreme Court, and she didn't say the name of the case or where it was from, but the facts of the case were that an individual was accused of attempted murder, and he was offered a reasonable plea offer by the prosecutor, and his court-appointed defense attorney told him, you don't have to take that offer, because everybody knows that if you shoot someone below the waist, you can't be guilty of attempted murder. Now, your listening audience is full of non-lawyers, and they all know that's wrong. But this lawyer gave that advice.
Okay.
Now, Justice Kagan gave this as an example of how bad things are. That's a Detroit case. That was a Wayne County, Michigan, appointed counsel who gave that advice.
Okay.
So we kind of are being held out as laughingstocks in the country about where we are. So are we alone? No. Are we in trouble? Yes.
You and others are asking that a system adhere to the American Bar Association's 10 principles of indigent defense. Tell us why you think that's a good benchmark, and maybe if you could give us an example or two.
Okay. The American Bar Association, a number of years ago, collected the constitutional law from the United States Supreme Court and from the circuit courts around the country to try and spell out what a system providing indigent defense should, what it should look like. And for instance, the first principle is it should be independent from the judiciary. What that means is the judges shouldn't get to pick who the lawyers are.
And why is that important?
Another good example out of Michigan is about a year ago, I was asked to come down and speak to the Wayne County District Court Judges Association. Talk about the work of Governor Snyder had a Indigent Defense Advisory Commission that was working at that time, and I was privileged to be appointed by the governor and serve on that commission. And I was reporting on the work of the commission to some of my colleagues in Wayne County. There was about 25 district court judges in the room, and there was one Wayne County Circuit Court judge there too who had presented on a different topic before I spoke. And I talked basically about the ABA 10 principles, including the first principles, independence from the judiciary, creating a system that isn't interlinked with the judges. And when I was done talking, the Wayne County Circuit Court judge raised his hand with a question. And I said, yeah, Judge, what's your question? He said, well, wait a minute. If I don't get to appoint my lawyers, how will I fund my campaign? And as awful as that sounds, he wasn't kidding. And not one of those 25 judges in the room laughed. They all looked at me like, well, that's a good question. Wonder what the answer is.
Wow.
And that's just simple corruption. I mean, these are good people caught in a corrupt system that needs to be fixed.
How big is Wayne County in the larger Michigan problem?
Well, you don't have to be in Wayne County to have a problem. I mean, Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb, I've heard represent about 45% of all criminal cases and about 50% of all capital cases. And capital cases, murder cases, just require a lot of expertise, a lot of time, a lot of resources. So the metro area is a significant piece of this. But in smaller counties, Hillsdale County, St. Joe County, if you're facing a misdemeanor, you may not get a lawyer at all, in spite of the fact that the United States Supreme Court said last year, on March 21st in Missouri versus Fry, that it's absolutely mandatory that someone facing a charge that might result in jail have a lawyer as soon as they come to court, not just at trial. So there's rural counties that don't have the money to do this, perform this function adequately either. And it's not just a Wayne County problem.
Over the years, I'm led to believe that the funding piece has accounted for an awful lot of the resistance to change. Am I right about that?
I think so. I think that that's an accurate portrayal. Over the 50 years since the Constitution of 63 and since Gideon versus Wainwright was decided, numerous Supreme Court justices, chief justices of the Michigan Supreme Court, numerous governors, numerous state bar presidents have asked for reform. They've impaneled commissions like the one I sat on last year. They've impaneled groups, and they've tried to address this problem. And the ability to fund it effectively has always been the barrier to break it down. But because of the leadership of Governor Snyder this year and last year, I think that the state is beginning to realize that this is an obligation they cannot walk away from. There is some pressure from the United States Department of Justice, too, who's kind of in the shadows lurking with threatening a lawsuit. to enforce the Sixth Amendment rights for citizens of Michigan. If the Department of Justice came in and sued Michigan, as they just did Memphis, Tennessee last year, you know, the state might lose control over its spending. And so I think the governor, for good reasons, and other people for maybe less good reasons, are stepping up and saying, let's control our destiny, not let the Department of Justice and a federal judge tell us how this is going to turn out.
We're talking with Judge Thomas Boyd, Chief Judge of the 55th District Court here in Ingham County, about reform of public defense. All of this intractable, seemingly intractable problem continues despite repeated attempts at reform over the years, and some quite recently. You refer to Governor Snyder's IDAC, the final report issued in June of 2012, a bill passed in the House, but it died in the Senate. Can you summarize why these legislative attempts at reform have struck out?
I think that the question you ask is specific. When the Indigent Defense Advisory Commission issued its report in June of 2012, there was enough time through the summer recess to have a bill drafted based upon that report, and Representative Tom McMillan submitted that bill, and as you said, it passed the House by a wide margin with bipartisan support. It really entered the Senate at a time when the election was heated, and after the election, there's just this period of time called lame duck where I don't know that any reasonable citizen would be pleased with how lame duck works, but this item just didn't make the agenda. I don't think that it's fair to say that there was a malice afoot at that point. And so the proponents of that piece of legislation that simply died because the clock ran out in 2012 are the same people that have introduced this legislation in 2013 and the same people that will be this morning in the House promoting this legislation on Law Day.
We've got less than a minute with Judge Boyd. What is the role of public opinion in this? Is there a lack of awareness? Is it apathy? What's in play?
I think it's probably a lack of awareness. I mean, when I talk to groups that are learned and involved in the system and tell them how bad things are with specific examples like I've given you here today, most people are pretty surprised.
Chief Judge of the 55th District Court here in Ingham County, Judge Thomas Boyd, is an advocate for reform of public defense. There is a hearing scheduled today, Law Day, at the Capitol by the House Criminal Justice Committee. Judge Boyd, many thanks.
Thank you very much.